Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
And welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how you doing this morning?
I'm well. How are you, Tom?
I'm good. Well, it appears that our daily zap did not get loaded like I had thought. So we're just going to go ahead and jump right into the NBA this morning. And while you're wrapping up the NBA, I'll go ahead and try to get that daily zap up and running so we can hear it after the fact instead of before the fact. But that's okay. It's all good because we're wrapping up everybody right here in all of our listeners of the last 24 hours. You're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. You can also catch all of our archive shows on iTunes and on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. Josh, are you ready to wrap us up on the NBA?
Sure am. Well, last night, Celtics 105, San Antonio Spurs 103. That's the Spurs' second straight loss. Rondo had 22 assists, 12 points, and 10 rebounds as the Celtics took care of business against the Spurs. Magic 97, the Bucks 87. And that's seven straight wins for the Orlando Magic. Although Coach Van Gundy doesn't appear to be happy. He says they're starting to get lax and not playing hard. Dwight Howard had 28 points and 13 boards for the Magic. Atlanta Hawks 110, the Jazz 87. Joe Johnson had 28 points, 5-7 on 3 points. Paul Millsap missed the game for the Utah Jazz with a sore hip. The other game I wanted to highlight from last night, the Lakers 99, the Suns 95. Kobe Bryant had 24 points. Four other Lakers were in double figures. That was the Lakers' second straight win. It appears Ron Artest may be doing it to yet another team. Ron Artest and Phil Jackson are at each other. They're on each other's nerves. I look for something to happen there. Either Jackson will suspend Artest, or Artest will just not show up. I don't know what's going to happen there, but doesn't appear Artest wants to play for Jackson. Doesn't appear Jackson wants to coach Artest.
Well, that's Cousin Ronnie for you. We experienced him very well right here in Indianapolis, and he's a spoiled little brat, if you ask my opinion. And he's, I guess you could say he's like a good woman. They're good to have at the beginning, but after a while, they just become a pain in the rear. No, I'm just kidding, except for my wife. My wife is absolutely perfect. But, yeah, that's Ron Artest for you, pulling his normal stuff. Go ahead, Josh.
And tonight in the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder play the Dallas Mavericks at 8 p.m. on TNT. It is not yet known whether Dirk Nowitzki will be back. Carmelo Anthony and the Denver Nuggets take on Tyreek Evans and the Sacramento Kings at 10:30 on TNT. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, the Indiana Pacers host the San Antonio Spurs. Moving Danny Green to the power forward, the more I look into it, that's like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. That makes no sense. It's not going to work. It will be nice to have Donnie Walsh back in Conseco Fieldhouse. The Knicks also have former Pacer Sean Williams. If you recall, couldn't stay out of jail when he was with the Pacers. And that's the NBA today.
So he was in jail while he was with the NBA Pacers. So he fit in well while he was here with the Indiana Pacers. I said NBA Pacers. So he fit in well. So, yeah, that is going to be a good game Friday night against the Spurs. The Spurs certainly hurt us at the beginning of the season this year, and so hopefully that they can bounce back with a win. We're still trying to get that daily zap loaded there, Josh, but hopefully that'll get loaded here in a very short amount of time. In the meantime, let's go ahead and wrap everyone up on the NCAA. Purdue played yesterday. What happened there, Josh?
Purdue blew out Penn State 83-68. Ja'Juwan Johnson and Etuan Moore both had solid games. Purdue moves to 14-1, 3-0 in the Big Ten. Number one, Duke, 85. UAB, coached by Mike Davis, former IU coach, 64. Want to give a shout-out to number six, San Diego State. as they beat TCU 66-53 for their to continue their best start in school history at 16-0. Number 8, Mizzou 98, University of Northern Arizona 58, Kansas 99, University of Missouri, Kansas City 52, Kansas is 14-0. My Louisville Cardinals 73, Seton Hall 54. Central Florida 65, Marshall 58. Central Florida is 14-0. They also have Marcus and Jeffrey Jordan on the Central Florida team. Tennessee Shock, number 22, Memphis, 104-84. That's Bruce Pearl's last game before he has to miss the first half of the SEC season due to rules violations. Number 14, BYU, 89, UNLV, 77. Jimmy Fredette for the Cougars had 39 points as BYU moves to 15-1. Tonight, number 7, Villanova takes on South Florida in the Big East matchup on ESPNU at 7. And then we have a couple big-time rivalries. Number 25, Cincinnati, who's 14-0, takes on Xavier at 7 p.m. on ESPN2. And number 20, Illinois, takes on Northwestern at 9 on ESPN2. And that's about it.
Okay, I was just going to say something real quick on San Diego State TCU. Man, San Diego State is the real deal. They won 16 straight. So Sweet 16, here we come. Actually, I would say Final Four. They're certainly well on the way. The sixth-ranked Aztecs had 4 dunks and 5 steals, 4 on turnovers by TCU. And of course, San Diego State went on to win that 66-53 over TCU on Wednesday night. I tell you what, guys, San Diego State, you heard it right here on The Balance first. They are going to be in the Final Four. They're going to be a team to contend with when it comes to March Madness. And of course, The Balance will be covering all of that and very in depth on the women's Final Four right here in Indianapolis. Well, Josh, we do have that Daily Zap now, so we'll go ahead and run that Daily Zap. And on the other side of that, we'll jump right into some NFL. A lot going on there today.
Wednesday, Daily Zap on NBA.com. A look back at an 11-game schedule across the league. Barn burner between the Nets and Bulls. It was tight late. Sasha Vujacic, the hero in this one. That bucket there would be your game winner as the Nets end a 5-game skid and the Bulls' 5-game win streak, 96-94. Raptors and Cavs at the Q. Andrea Bargnani, 25 points on the night. Cavs did not play very well. They lose their 8th in a row to the tune of 120-105. Bucks and Magic in Orlando. Dwight Howard, beastly as usual. How about 28 points and 13 rebounds to lead the way as the Magic win their season best, 7th in a row. Wizards searching for that ever elusive first road win of the year as they hooked up with the Sixers. Would not happen. The win falls to 0-17 on the road to start the year. A matchup of the two top teams in the league, San Antonio and Boston. This one tight. Ray Allen went off, though. 31 in the game for him. Rajon Rondo with a triple-double as the Spurs lose back-to-back for the first time this year. Bobcats and Timberwolves in Minnesota. This one would be decided in overtime, where the Bobcats would pull away, avoiding a 10th straight road loss despite K-Love's monstrous 22nd straight double-double. Monte Ellis, fourth leading scorer in the league, on full display as they hooked up with the Hornets. Warriors able to steal one on the road, 110-103, ending the Hornets' 3-game win streak. Kevin Martin and company hooking up with the Portland Trailblazers for the second time in 4 days. Kevin Martin went off, 45 in the game for him. But LaMarcus Aldridge and company able to get the job done. Portland wins in Houston for the first time since 2007. Hawks and Jazz, both with 2-game win streaks on the line, who would extend to 3 in a row. That would be the Hawks, led by Jamal Crawford, 26 points. Joe Johnson, also 28 in that game. Clippers and Nuggets in L.A. on Wednesday. Eric Gordon and company hitting on all cylinders. Blake Griffin, his 22nd double-double as the Clips get the win. And the nightcap, Lakers and Suns in Phoenix. You know, L.A. has been struggling here of late. They got back on track tonight, 99-95, the final score. That's your Daily Zap.
Mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. You make no...
Well, guys, that is your Daily Zap. It's always good to have our partners over there at NBA to provide those sound bites for us. Thanks a lot, guys. NBA TV always has the Daily Zap ready to go for us. And you guys rock over there at NBA TV. So, Josh, moving on over to the NFL. A lot to talk about there today. Vince Young is no longer a Titan. Well, maybe not officially no longer a Titan, but it has been announced that the Titans will not bring him back. And I know that Vince Young basically said that he never felt trusted there the entire 5 years he was there. He never felt like that that he was always looking over his shoulder and never felt like he was the man, especially compared to other quarterbacks around the league. And quite frankly, I think he's right. I don't think Jeff Fisher really ever liked him from the beginning. And I think that he finally got his way in pushing him out there. But what are your thoughts there, Josh, on the Vince Young leaving a Tennessee Titan after being there 5 years?
Well, I have to agree with Vince Young. Every time he seemed like he threw an interception or he made a mistake, every quarterback makes a mistake. There was Terry Collins on the sideline warming up. But I look for Vince Young to end up with either the Minnesota Vikings or the Arizona Cardinals. I don't think that either team will hand him the starting job. I think if he goes to Minnesota, he'll be given the chance to compete for the starting job. If he goes to Arizona, he'll go there to kind of tutor a young rookie quarterback, maybe Luck or one of the other five potential first-round quarterbacks in this year's draft. It's just sad that he never really was given a chance in Tennessee.
Right. I agree. And I think that for whatever reason, Vince Young never really was a part of the Titan clique out there. So I think you're right. I think Minnesota is a good fit for him. I hear they're going to be looking for a quarterback. LOL. Titans owner Bob Adams say it's just time to let Vince Young go and for the franchise to find its next quarterback. I wonder who that might be. I'm just curious if you have any thoughts on who the new quarterback for the Tennessee Titans would be. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic there. But Josh, do you really think do you think that it's very obvious that that Tennessee has their starting quarterback for next year? Or do you really think they'll go out there and try to find somebody different and that's a job to compete for as well?
I think their starting quarterback is in Denver right now. I think it'll end up being Kyle Orton. The Broncos are sold on Tim Tebow. They're not going to keep Tebow, Orton, and Brady Quinn. And Brady Quinn's cheaper than Kyle Orton, so look for Kyle Orton to be available. Either go to Tennessee, the Vikings, or the Cardinals.
Okay, so you don't think Kerry Collins will stay there as the starter at Tennessee?
I don't think you can be a starter in the NFL at the age of 39 and be good at it. Brett Favre proved that.
Yeah, good point. Good point. So, well, that's a saga that's going to play itself out. Another saga playing out in the NFL. Hardball watch, boys and girls. Where's he going to go? 49ers talked to him for 5 hours yesterday, and I hear tell he's headed down to South Beach today, or that they're coming out to talk to him. The Dolphins want him bad. Reports are they're going to make him the highest paid NFL coach. So if it's about the money, it's going to be very hard for Harbaugh to turn it down. A little tacky, if you ask me, to be interviewing with the team when they haven't even fired the coach yet. I mean, obviously, that's forthcoming, and I'm sure that he very well knows that. I'm sure he's packing up his office as we speak. But at the same time, the Dolphins need to make it public that they fired the head coach and they are interviewing other candidates. And myself, I just think it's professionally tacky, and I think Jim Harbaugh should not be interviewing with a team that currently has a head coach. But, Josh, what are your thoughts on that?
I think you're being a little too nice on the Dolphins. It's not tacky. It's disgusting. It's morally wrong. If we're horrible, that's disgusting. Why would you interview with the team who has that coach. You wouldn't want that done to you, so I can't believe he would do that to Tony Sperano. But on the flip side, what if he turns the $8 million down and the Dolphins are left keeping Tony Soprano? Would he still want to stay?
Well, here's the thing. Go ahead. Go ahead, Josh.
I wouldn't want to stay if they did that to me. I don't know about you, Tom, but I'd be like, see, I'm out.
Yeah, I'd be the same way. I mean, you know, obviously I don't know that Tony Soprano has a job to go to. There's some job openings out there. I don't look for him to walk into a position. So I think that maybe for purposes of having a job, he may stay, but certainly his confidence in the owner would be way down. And certainly that would have a trickle down effect on the way he coaches and certainly on the respect, because if the ownership doesn't respect the coach, then there's no way that the players are going to respect the coach. But, and you know what? I think we might see that situation pan out. You know, as tacky as it might be for Jim Harbaugh to be interviewing with the Dolphins right now, could be wrong. I don't see Jim Harbaugh giving up the West Coast to come to South Beach. If he does, it is the only reason he'll do that would be all about the money, because he has every opportunity to pretty much have his pick with the NFL. So if it's just about being in the NFL, which apparently is the reason why he didn't take the Michigan job, is because of the fact that he wants to be in the NFL. And if that's where it's at, then I think that he'll stay there on the West Coast. And I think 49ers have pretty much nailed him down there. And I think that, and like I said here on The Balance a few weeks ago, that I really, really look for Jim Harbaugh to end up with the 49ers. That hasn't panned out yet. Obviously, other teams are trying to make him their guy, and the Dolphins certainly being one of them, and they're out there today, and they're going to pull everything out of their bag of tricks that they can do to bring him down there to Miami. And with hopes, you know, here's the thing. He's the child prodigy right now, and everybody out there seems to think that he's going to get him a Super Bowl, and he did a fantastic job at Stanford. He is certainly way beyond his time in college football coaching when it comes to that. I think that he has the NFL element. I think he'll do well in the NFL. I don't know that he's the NFL coaching messiah at the moment. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see. He never was, in my opinion, one of the great quarterbacks. Certainly he was spent some time here in Indianapolis with the Colts. He's got a little bit of a fiery temper. He likes to skirt issues. He doesn't do well with the press. Those are all things he's got to get under control. And here's the thing: you're not gonna approach, for example, you're not gonna approach an NFL player the same way you will a college player. And obviously, he knows that, understands that. I'm sure that that's something he's thought about, something that he's given great thought to. But at the same time, I just don't look for him to end up down there in Miami. That could be proven wrong as soon as tomorrow. But I just I don't look for it to happen out there. Okay, so we've got NFL wild card coming here to Indianapolis. Looks like the Colts are sold out now. There's a few tickets available. I think the Jets will return some tickets. But for purposes of broadcasting the playoff game right here in the local market, that task has been accomplished. As we talked about yesterday here on the wrap-up, but that was certainly an issue and a concern. And, Josh, I know you're going to be there in the bleachers in your blue and white. What are the thoughts going on here with the Colts and the Jets? Can the Colts really beat the Jets, or is this just another pipe dream, Josh?
I think the Colts can beat the Jets, and my good friend Jimmy Saddam kind of had it's a joke, but if you know about the whole Rex Ryan YouTube video, it makes sense. If everybody at Lucas Oil Stadium would go in without shoes on, it would distract the coach of the Jets, and it would give the Colts a definite advantage since he apparently has a foot fetish. Or whatever that whole situation was about.
You know, I wasn't going to bring that up, but that's funny. I think you're right. Maybe we could get Adam Vinatieri to kick barefooted, but well, Here's the thing, and I don't want to make this show. I want to talk about real issues, and if real issues have controversies, that's fine. But quite frankly, what the man does in his bedroom, I really don't care. It was with his wife. He wasn't out doing it with a prostitute, or he wasn't getting arrested and doing it. I mean, maybe he should know that he's a coach in the NFL, and if he posted a video, wherever he posted a video on the internet, it's out there, and people are going to find it, and especially when you're a part of the New York media, people are going to find it, and they're going to exploit it, and, you know, if you're going to do that, that's perfectly okay. I got no problem with you doing that, but at the same time, there again, as so much as the media likes to do, they like to blow everything up that's nothing. If the man has a foot fetish with his wife, and that's how they express their love for each other, so be it. Didn't have to put it on the internet. Everybody else doesn't need to see it. But the thing about it is it was with his wife, and he really wasn't doing anything illegal or immoral. He's just kind of one of those stories that's out there lingering. But I agree with you, Josh. I think that could create some sort of a distraction. So are you going to the game barefooted there, Josh?
I'm not, no, but on a more serious note, I think the Colts have to run the football. These are the cliches you hear, but it's true. The winner Saturday will be the team that runs the football, stops the run, comes up with takeaways, and doesn't turn the football over. Whichever one team does at least three of those four things will win.
I absolutely agree. And the Colts have to come and ready to play. And I think that they know that they've got a tough opponent. They have to play their A game. They have to play. They have to pull all stops out. Dominic Rhodes has to have another good game. Peyton Manning has to find his targets. Pierre Garçon has to catch the ball. Defense has to create some turnovers. Offensive line has to protect Peyton Manning in the pocket. He doesn't do well when he's razzled, but when he has time to throw the ball, when Peyton Manning has time to focus, when there is that ability to make a play, well, the Colts are going to definitely make that play. On the flip side of the coin, the Jets have a little-known running back that maybe nobody's heard of by the name of LaDainian Tomlinson. And here's the thing. That guy can rush. He's a Hall of Famer, quite obviously. He made his name out in San Diego, but that doesn't change who he is. Doesn't change the player that he is. And our defensive line has to stop him. Our defensive line, Freeney, has to get up there and stop Sanchez. So we have to – the defense has to come to work and make that happen, because if they can't, then the Colts are going to be waking up Sunday morning with nowhere to play, nowhere to go, but go back to the Colts training complex and clear out their lockers, because their season's going to be over. However, that said, I think that the Colts know that. They're at home. They're against the Jets. The Jets are coming in with a personal vendetta. I think that they know that they have to win. They're going to play them hard. It's Manning, it's Sanchez. They both played each other. They're both very familiar with each other. It's indoors, so weather's not going to be a factor. The Jets come in at 11-5 and 6-2 and away. Obviously, the Colts' record's 10-6 and 6-2 and away. And there again, like I said earlier, the Colts went to the Super Bowls by beating the Jets last year. Basically upset Rex Ryan and the New York Jets. And they're coming to town to settle the score here at Lucas Oil Stadium. And believe me, guys, when I say this time it's very, very, very personal in this rematch of the NFL. Any final thoughts on the Colts and Jets, Josh?
While it's personal, the Jets offensive line has to protect Mark Sanchez. His shoulder's already pretty hurt. If Freeney or Mathis can get around the end of the line and get to Sanchez, they might have to find out who their backup quarterback is.
Okay. I totally agree. Going on to the other game on Saturday, New Orleans and the Seahawks. Everybody has to know that there again, Reggie Bush has the ability to play. Drew Brees, you got Hasselbeck and Brees, and Drew Brees is just if he doesn't get the MVP this year, I'll be highly surprised about this. I think that this game it will be a game that the Saints can win and will win. But at the same time, Seahawks have found a way to get there, and you know, they played a pretty good team to get there too, and that's against the Rams. So, you know, we'll see what happens Saturday against the Seahawks in New Orleans. What are your thoughts on the Saints and the Seahawks there Saturday afternoon, Josh?
I think the Saints will win pretty big, but I think Pete Carroll's right in his press conference yesterday. He said the Seahawks aren't going to apologize for being in the playoffs with a losing record. You know, they won their division. That's the requirement to make the playoffs, so they have no need to apologize, and certainly they're capable of upsetting the Saints. I don't think they will, but they could.
I agree 100%. They have everything in their tool chest to make it happen. And, you know, like I've said many times, look out for the team that has nothing to lose, and these guys have nothing to lose. They are certainly the proverbial underdog in this game. And, you know, if you look at the game on paper and you break down the X's and the O's, Saints have what it takes to make this happen and move forward and send Seattle home, you know, with Pete Carroll scratching his head. What? I didn't win a championship? I'm in the NFL. Anyway. So we'll see what happens back there in that particular game, and of course other games this weekend are certainly the Chiefs and Baltimore and Green Bay and Philadelphia. Real quick, what are your thoughts on the Baltimore Kansas City Chief game, Josh?
I pick Baltimore every day this week in a blowout, and I'm going to stick with that pick: Baltimore to blow out Kansas City.
Okay, I agree. I mean, I don't know that it's going to be a blowout. I mean, Kansas City has the tools to make it happen. You know, Castle and Flacco both have been really both guys I know very well this season because I had them, both of them on my fantasy team in separate leagues. So I follow these guys very, very closely, and they're very very close in their numbers. You know, Matt Castle's 27 touchdowns. Flacco has 25. Really, when you break down the numbers and the X's and the O's when it comes to quarterback, then, you know, Kansas City can come out on top. Kansas City can beat Baltimore. Absolutely, they can beat Baltimore. Do not think for 1 minute that Kansas City's the chump in this game. And that they fear the likes of Ray Rice, because it's not the case. And I'm going to tell you right now, as they're playing at Arrowhead Stadium, the Chiefs have played a hard season. They're not giving up easily on Sunday. So I think, yeah, I agree with you. I think the Ravens will come back with a win, but I don't necessarily agree that it's going to be a blowout. Real quickly, Green Bay and Philadelphia, what are your thoughts on that game, Josh?
Second best game of the weekend. Michael Vick appears to be healthy. Since Michael Vick is healthy, I'm going to switch from picking the Packers to go back to picking the Eagles. The only reason I wasn't picking the Eagles, I didn't think Vick was going to play, but if he does, the Eagles got this game on lockdown.
I agree with you. I think that the Eagles have this game. I think they're going to have to play Michael Vick. We'll certainly know how that plays out. We got just we're finishing up here in the two minute warning. Josh, real quickly, take us into the 2 minute warning.
I want to say congratulations to Roberto Alomar and Brett Belivan for making the Hall of Fame.
Okay, and we'll certainly get more into the Baseball Hall of Fame issues from yesterday. My name's Tom. Right alongside me, as usual, is $2 Bill Josh. We wrap you up every day of all the sports that's happened in the last 24 hours. Remember to catch us online, www.thebalanceonline.com. Also, catch us on Facebook. Just search The Balance. And you can download this show as well in the archive on iTunes and there on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. And don't forget to catch us live Saturday morning, 9 a.m., right here on Blog Talk Radio and on Ustream. With that, you've been wrapped up.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go. You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was going to say, son of a, didn't you?
That's all, folks.